Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Joseph Lobbock from my parish in Wadsworth, Ohio, Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic Church. Welcome, Father Joe.
Thanks, Tim. Nice to be here with you.
It's great to have you.
Thanks.
Today we're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and today we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Virgin Mary. Question 117 asks, how could the Holy Spirit work in, with, and through Mary?
Well, as we go back, if we go back to the Annunciation, when the angel appeared to Mary and told her she was to be the Mother of God, we read in how the angel greeted Mary, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." That indicates to us right away that Mary is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she is open then to everything that the angel tells her, even though she doesn't understand it. The angel simply told her that she was to be the Mother of God. You are to bear a son. Mary, of course, as we hear in the scriptures, had a little bit of a question about that. How can that be? But he explains that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, the power of the Most High. Again, introducing that whole idea of the Holy Spirit filling Mary, enabling her then to say yes, that this is what she wants to do. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. So Mary is totally responsive to the Holy Spirit, to God working in her life. She didn't need a detailed plan. She didn't have to have a schedule of events, how it was all going to work out. Sometimes we look back on Mary and we think that, you know, she kind of knew everything, and she didn't. She didn't know any more about tomorrow than you or I do. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what joys or sorrows or trials, and neither did Mary. She didn't know she was going to have to go to Bethlehem when she was almost ready to have her baby. She didn't know she was going to have to flee to Egypt. She didn't know that she was going to see her son crucified. But she took everything just as God had ordained it, but she accepted it. She was totally responsive and completely faithful to God.
And that's why I think the Blessed Mother is so important in the life of the church, because she's a perfect example of a created being, a creature, saying yes to God and being totally open to his will, like you said, not knowing what's going to happen next, but right, saying yes to it regardless.
Yeah, and that's what we're at. That's why Mary is so important. She's such a powerful witness, example to us, that we are called to say yes to God because we love him. He loves us. We know what he's done for us. We're here. We're alive. We've been created. We've been redeemed. And so whatever God asks of us, we try to accept, even though sometimes it's painful, even though sometimes it brings sorrow into our life.
Beautiful. So on question 118 asks, what happened on Pentecost?
Well, Pentecost, as we know, is the 50th day after Easter. Jesus told his apostles that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, that they were to wait in Jerusalem and pray. And they were gathered in that same upper room to pray together. And Mary was most likely with them in that room praying when the whole Holy Spirit, again, those signs of the Holy Spirit, the rushing wind that came upon the place, the tongues of fire that rested upon their heads, all indicate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of what happened, they were able now to finally go out there and start preaching the good news. All of a sudden, they weren't afraid anymore. They weren't worried about what everybody was going to say. They spoke to the people in their own language, but yet many people of other languages who didn't speak their language at all understood everything they were saying. Because it tells us that the truth is universal. Truth is for everybody, not just this group of people or that group of people. So Pentecost is the beginning of the church, really.
Okay. So what does the Holy Church, what does the Holy Spirit do in the church?
The Holy Spirit continues then to guide the church, to sanctify the church, to guide it, to govern it, as we say in the teachings of the church, that we see the Holy Spirit active throughout the Acts of the Apostles and throughout the history of the church. Even today, the Holy Spirit, we can look back at the Second Vatican Council, that was all guided by the Holy Spirit. It had to be. There could be no other way, and yet there are people who dispute that, to say that the council was all wrong, it's all no good, you know, we have to throw all that out. How can we do that? The church was together. Every, you know, all the bishops of the world came together to pray. The Spirit is not going to abandon the church at that point. So the Holy Spirit continues when the bishops teach, when the Pope teaches us. These are all things that are guided by the Holy Spirit. We as individuals are guided by the Holy Spirit as members of the body of Christ, as members of the church. We are guided by those same things, the truth that guides us, again, insofar as we're open to it, that we allow the truth to sink into our hearts and our minds and to live it out.
Well, we as Catholics, if you go back a little bit further to the Council of Carthage, when they were trying to determine which books belonged in the Bible and which didn't, again, the bishops at that time were guided by the Holy Spirit to determine which books were holy and sacred scripture and which ones weren't.
Definitely the church, all of those things. At the Council of Nicaea, when the church proclaimed that Jesus is both God and man, it's guided by the Holy Spirit. When they declared the Blessed Mother to be the Mother of God, Council of Ephesus, that declared that she is indeed the Mother of God. So all of these things are guided by the Holy Spirit. They lead us to a deeper truth.
And we find in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, we read, "I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." So like you said, that continues even to this day, that the Holy Spirit is guiding the church. And we just had it recently when we had a new pope elected.
Right, exactly.
So we have another example of the bishops in unison being guided by the Holy Spirit to lead the church.
Even Pope Benedict being guided by the Spirit to do what he did, to say, "I need to step away. I can't do it anymore. Let somebody else do it." That's something I believe was inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So let's make it a little more personal, Father. Question 120 says, "What does the Holy Spirit do in my life? And how do we know it's the Holy Spirit?"
Okay, well, we believe that the Holy Spirit is present in our lives by virtue of our baptism. Because we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're anointed with the chrism. And so both of those things, the pouring of the water, all of these things indicate to us that the Spirit is present in our lives, and that's renewed and confirmed when we receive the sacrament of confirmation. We are anointed again with the chrism, be sealed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is definitely present in our lives, and we know that, and it comes out whenever we are open to that presence of God. Our desire, like I said before, our desire to do something good, our desire to follow Jesus, to listen to him, our desire to go to church on Sunday morning, whether it's a strong desire or just, well, I got to go. This is what I need to do. I don't really want to go. I want to do this. I want to do that. But I got to go to church. That's the Holy Spirit in our life. The need that we have in our lives for prayer, for love, you know, that desire for love, the desire for God, all of this is the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And the more we open ourselves to it, the more we realize what it is, the more we can live it out, and the stronger it becomes. The more we open our hearts, the more God pours in the Holy Spirit.
As you know, Father, as my spiritual director, one of the challenges I've had is abandoning, holding on to having control, wanting to know what's going to happen today or tomorrow or whatever, and really totally trusting in God. And one of the things that you have counseled me in doing is praying to the Holy Spirit to have the grace,
right,
to be able to completely and totally trust in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's a gift.
Right. I believe that if we ask the Holy Spirit, he'll give us what we need. Show me the way. Show me that what I'm supposed to do. And he will in some way. It may come in our own hearts. It may come through another person. But are we listening? That's always the question. Sometimes we don't want to listen to the other people around us because we get some ideas in our own minds. And it's hard to change. It's hard to say, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I shouldn't do it that way. Maybe I need to let go of that person in my life. Maybe I need to let go of that activity in my life in order to draw closer to God. Those are hard things. But we can do it only in the Holy Spirit, only because we have that Holy Spirit and we know that we have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, Father, is that I want it yesterday. I want it right away. I want it right now.
Right, yeah.
And again, sometimes, as we all know, we don't get those answers maybe as quickly as we wish we would get them.
Right.
So
right.
For me personally, what that has meant is for me to develop the virtue of patience, which is one of my greatest weaknesses. So again, to slow down. And as you said, I feel like I've always had to do the talking when I pray. So the right. last few years, I've tried to really focus on listening, mm-hmm. especially when I'm before the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah.
To listen, just to be quiet. Because as I've read in several different messages, the only way we can hear the Lord is to be quiet.
Be quiet.
So
yes.
we aren't distracted and we don't have all that noise that's causing us to not hear what the Lord's trying to say to us.
So many times people think that I got to be talking. I got to have prayers to say. I have to have words to say to God all the time. No, we don't. All we have to do is be quiet. Be aware of the presence of God, that he's there. Like you said, especially just to go and sit in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament and let God speak to our hearts. And he will do it. We have to be, as you said, patient. And I think tomorrow is the feast of, the Feast of St. Monica, August 27th. But that's a great model of patience. She prayed for 30 years for her son to come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's patience, by all means.
Absolutely. Well, Father, thanks for sharing the answers to the questions in the UCAT and some thoughts on the Holy Spirit. You've been listening to Father Joe Lobbock, and this is Tim Perry, your host with Faith with Father, and we've been going through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. Until next time, may God bless you and yours richly. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.